I want you to think for a minute about what's going on with you, or maybe somebody you know, or somebody you love, another family member. That it would be good for us to speak their name out before the Lord today because certain things are going on with them for you. So I'm going to pray. And if you've got something on your heart, I want you to raise your hand. You don't have to wave it and wave it and raise anything like that. It's just an upward motion. This is for not for our benefit. We don't need to see it. But what I want you to do is a whisper. You don't have to whisper loud enough for everybody else to hear. You don't have to be that loud, but I want you to focus on that. And when I'm praying this prayer, if I pray something that applies to that situation, you speak out that name. Or you speak out and say, "That's me, Lord." Just under your breath to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of you this morning. And Lord God, it's just amazing to think of what you've done for us. And we thank you, Lord God, today that you are everything we need. You are the I am that I am. You are our healer. You're our provider. You are our deliverer. You are our guide. You are all that we need. Whatever we need, that's what you are. And Father, I thank you this morning that we can come before you. And that we, Lord God, because of a burden on our heart, because of a concern on our heart, we lift up to you, Lord God, now these individuals. I thank you, Lord God, for saving them. I thank you, Lord God, that you reached down with your love and plucked them right out of the fire. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are a healer. And Lord, as you look at those that are needing a touch from you, that you will be healer to them, Lord God. We make them known before your presence right now. And if there are family situations or their home situations, Lord God, that are not like they should be, we lift those up before you, Lord God. These names that may be coming up before you now, Lord God, take notice of them. We believe that we receive, Lord God, your attention. We believe that we receive your help in these times of need. We thank you, Lord God, for being with that financial situation. We know, Lord God, it's going to be taken care of in the name of Jesus because you said you supply all of our need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for that relationship that's tottering, Lord, or just the connection is being so strained. But I thank you, Lord God, for peace in that. And we refuse to allow the enemy to separate those, Lord God, that were meant to be together. And we thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. And we pray, Lord God, with regard to your word, with regard to the things of the kingdom of God, that you will open the eyes of the blind, that they might see where their hope is, that they might see where their salvation is. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We thank you, Lord God, that we can claim that and declare it today. And we know, Lord God, that that you're concerned over those maybe that the distractions of this world are turning their heads and turning their eyes away from you. But Lord God, we come into your presence to worship you. We come into your presence, Lord God, to sing praises unto you. We come into your presence, Lord God, to hear your word and to allow your spirit, Lord God, to speak to us. We thank you for that. And Lord God, we live in a country that is a great country. But Lord God, it needs to be better. People need to look more to you than what they do. We need to hear your voice, Lord God. We need to hear your voice coming through the airwaves, the things of this kingdom. When people open their mouths that are your children and they're put in a position, give them the strength and the courage to just lift you up. We thank you, Lord God, that you're in every job situation. Maybe there's some, Lord God, that are looking for a job. Maybe there's some that their job is just not providing the way it should. But Lord God, I believe that you can take care of that. I believe, Lord God, that it's in your hands and that's a good place for it to be. And I thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. For everything that we receive from you, Lord God. Everything that you've handed down to us. Lord, I pray for children. I pray for the children of those that are in here that have children and grandchildren, Lord God, that you are concerned about too. That it's hard to believe that you can love our own more than we can love them, but you can, and you do. And we thank you, Lord God, for that. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence and your prominence in the lives and families. Let us be a place, Lord God, known as the place where you can hear the word of God, where your life can be changed by the power of God and by the working of his Holy Spirit. Lord God, we thank you for the leaders and being with the leaders of our nation and our state, our local leaders, those that are elected, those that are hired, those that are appointed. We thank you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, most of all, that we are citizens of your kingdom, a kingdom that shall prevail and a kingdom without end, a kingdom with a king who is all benevolent to his servants, to his children, to his people. And I thank you, Lord God, for your word that gives us life. Not just the written word, but the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen. That passage of scripture that I read earlier from the Message Bible was this scripture. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is a good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now the reading had a couple of more verses. But I want to call your attention to that this morning. And I want you to think about some of the things that Sister Shirley has been preaching here lately. And some of the things that I know she's going to preach. And I'm not trying to step on her territory. I'm just simply trying to give to you from my heart the things that I've seen that we need to know how to walk in by the grace of God. And one of those things is that we need to know who we are. We really need to know who we are. There's a lot of people in the church that don't know who they are. They know what they're supposed to be. They've already figured out what they're supposed to be. And they're working like little busy beavers to become what they're supposed to be. And they're never going to be able to do it. They're going to break their teeth out and flatten their tails trying to do it and never be able to do it. But what we have to do is to understand, how do I get this working in my life that I know is supposed to be there, but I'm having trouble with doing it? And what it is, you know, we have a reference in the scriptures that talks about fighting the good fight of faith. Fighting the good fight of faith. We have a scripture that says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Then we have another scripture that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes the good fight of faith is not so much with those out there, whether it's individuals or whether it's a collective or whether it's just somebody with an agenda or what. But sometimes the good fight of faith that we've got to fight is the fight that's going on between our fleshly nature and our spiritual nature. If everybody left you alone for the next month, you'd still have you. And I can promise you that if it was just you and you, you'd get into it about something. We need to learn, what are we dealing with here? I thought that when Jesus saved me, He changed me. He did. You are a brand new creation. Let me put it this way. You are a brand new car. But just because you're a brand new car doesn't mean you're going to drive it perfectly, does it? Because you're still driving. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, what we need to do, first of all, is to find out what these new things are. Secondly, we need to understand what we have to do with them. And thirdly, we need to take a stand by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit to say, this is not happening in my life anymore. Flesh, you sit down, shut up. The Word of God illuminates by the Holy Spirit. And as it illuminates by the Holy Spirit, only the true meaning of transformation to the human heart can be known by the Spirit. Salvation by faith is a specific occasion, while the renewing of the mind by the Word is a continuing process. In other words, when you got born, you were born. But when a child is born, what is the general expectation of him? That he's going to grow up. It's awesome when he got born. Birthday. I remember when the little fellow was born. That was just such a joyous thing. He was so cute. And you know, there's this thing about him when you look at that and you get older you get and you look back and you look at that little picture when they were so cute and now that they're not quite as cute as they were when they were and they weren't doing anything that I had to run and track them down to stop them from it, but they're growing up. And they're learning how to be. You hear what I said? They're learning how to be. You might think we should say, well, they're learning how to behave. They're learning how to do, but no, they're learning how to be. And if there isn't some outside influence, they won't be what they are supposed to be. And in your life, if you don't allow some outside influence, you're not going to be what you're supposed to be. So what do we do about that? Well, we find out what it is we need to do. What it is we need to be. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You cannot transform yourself. You have to be transformed. Now, what should we do? How do we transform? By the renewing of our mind. How's our mind renewed? By the information that we put in it. The information that goes into our mind through our ears, through our eyes. And you know, a lot of people getting information in their mind now through their arm. Or, and after it's all done, they got a lot of information that's absolutely useless. And all it wants to do is, hey, let's do that again. Where's that thing? Where's that other needle? Where's that other sniff? Where's that other pill? Where's that other bottle? all sources of information. Where's that stuff that I shouldn't be looking at? All kinds of information. The world wants you to think like it does. If you thought like the world, they'd like you better? Just be like them and they'll like you. Don't say anything they don't agree with. Particularly don't tell them you believe that the Bible's the Bible and everything in it's the truth and God's God. They won't like you much for that. At least that's the way it sounds to me on TV and on the radio. You know how dangerous we Christians are? Don't tell me you haven't heard somebody on the radio talk about how dangerous we are. We're the terrorists in this country. We're the ones that have turned the country upside down. We're the ones that are causing all the problems. They wish we were out of here. But we got to stay here and deal with it. We're all going to live an amount of time. You're going to be here for a while. I don't know how long. The Lord says with long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. But that long life that he'll satisfy you with and show you his salvation cannot be found by watching all the news on TV all the time it's on. Even it doesn't matter whether it's far left, far right, or in the middle, all of them are going to say something that if you get a real good hold on, it's going to scare your boots off. God never scares us. You know, God doesn't want his people even reading the book of Revelation with fear. Because God's not the author of fear. And fear's a liar. But these are some of the things that we're going to have to do. We're going to walk in victory and have our minds renewed and see God without a veil over us. So just listen to them here real quickly as we go through. This is what you do to get your mind renewed and prove what is a good and perfect and acceptable will of God for you. It's not the same for everybody. First of all, be constant in your reading and study of God's Word. I was thinking about that and getting ready for this. I remember in, 1986, and I went on a mission trip to Austria. You may remember that. And a missionary that I went with over there, there was about a dozen people wanting to experience what it was like on the mission field, and my job for the 2 weeks I was there was to just teach them the things of God and Christian living, how to share yourself with those around you. But I remember one time the missionary, he took me out to lunch. And I don't know, and the name of it doesn't sound very good. Never has to me. Wiener Schnitzel. That's a German dish. He took me in this restaurant and he said, you know, they have really good Wiener Schnitzel here. And I thought, well, I'm game. I'll try anything. Ask Jack Ernest about our trip to Vietnam. You'll find out I'll eat anything. But he took this. They brought this plate out. There was this big cut of meat on that plate. It looked nearly as big as a hubcap. And it looked so good. And I ate that thing. I'm telling you, it was delicious. If I'm ever back in Austria and have the opportunity, I'll probably get another one. But I have never even seen the opportunity to get a good one here in the United States. Now, why am I saying that? As much as I loved that Wiener Schnitzel, as good as it was, and the fact that I was in Austria eating it, Did you know today that doesn't do me a dime's worth of good? Are you hungry? Oh, no, I'm not hungry. I can remember when I had a Wiener Schnitzel in Austria. I'm fine. That was so awesome. Now, what's saying that? My common sense? Because if I don't eat anything else, just because I had a real good experience with that Wiener Schnitzel over in Austria, and I don't eat anything because I just remember that. Now, I'm going to tell you, what I'm saying is this. I remember when I got saved. I remember when I got saved. And when I got saved in my life, it was as good as that Wiener Schnitzel. But what I'm saying is this. If all I know about my spiritual life is the day I got saved, what have I been doing for the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years? That all I remember now is, oh boy, I remember when I ate that Wiener Schnitzel. It just thrills me every time I remember it. Don't let it be said about that, about your spiritual life, about your Christian life, that the best memory you have in your Christian life is the day that you got saved. Awesome, that's a great memory, but let it be a memory. It is not your Christian life. It is the beginning of your Christian life. It is your Christian birth. But then it has to be added on to. And so what it means is be constant in your reading and studying of God's Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do you want to grow? Do you want to be a stronger Christian? Do you want to be a stronger witness in the world? Then get a hold of some of the Word of God and just remember it as the best meal you ever had in your life. But don't just eat it once. Eat it all the time. I can remember one time. It was long years ago. I can say long years ago because this is actually our 38th year as a church. We actually became a church in 1980. And we'd actually been meeting since 1979, but we actually incorporated as a church in 1980. But in all of this time, there was this couple, and they were having some problems. And I went to visit them a couple times. Saw them a lot. They were doing good to start with. They were doing good. They came in. They became part of this church. They were active, growing. And then I was made aware of a home problem. Things just weren't in harmony there. So I'm there and they're discussing, one of she's giving her side, he's giving his side. And one of the things, he said this. He said, and she doesn't ever read the Bible. She never reads the Bible. And you know what her response was? Well, I read it once, why should I read it anymore? I've done read the whole Bible. What's the use of going back and reading again? Now that kind of attitude will starve you to death. If you think reading the Bible once is all you need to do, you're going to find yourself starving down the road or extremely thirsty, dying for a drink. Recognize that your faith will grow only as much as you feed on God's Word. You read the newspaper, you watch the news, you hear the people's comments, you know, people that know what they're talking about and people that don't know what they're talking about. And I've come to the conclusion that the majority of people are people that don't know what they're talking about. That will not increase your faith, but it sure will enhance your fears. So if you bring in stuff, you know, if you feed on stuff that produces fear, now, let me ask you this. If you ate 2 pies, 2 cakes, and 3 banana splits every day, and you were believing God to keep you thin, and you weren't going to worry about diabetes. Because I have faith. You're setting yourself up for something, and it's not going to be what you want. Not going to be what you want. Now, I'm not against any of those things. But I don't spend every day. And I don't eat them now as much as I used to eat them because, I have less capacity now, which is one thing. But I'm beginning to realize that I do, even though I'm trusting God, I've got to find out what God says about it. I can't just do something I want to do and say, God, take care of it. And it's not because he doesn't love you. You can't put a bullet to you. I mean, you can't put a gun to your head with one bullet in it and pull the trigger 6 times and expect it not to go off. It's going to go off. If that bullet's in there and you keep pulling that trigger, eventually it's going to fire. Let God's Word and His Holy Spirit radically transform your way of thinking. Did you know you will never transform your way of doing until you get to where you know you're transferring your way of thinking? You can clean up a hog. You can make him just so beautiful and put a bow on his little tail and spray him with perfume and just have this awesome little creature that's just so lovable and huggable. Open the door and let him out. And then about an hour, go back and evaluate him. Now, I know he didn't do any of that stuff for himself. You did it all. But even though you did it all, and even though at our sight he just looks great, he's still thinking like a pig. What Romans 12:2 is trying to tell us is that we were once caterpillars, but we have been metamorphosized. I'm giving you scientific stuff now. Caterpillar crawls on the ground, eats leaves, stays in the dirt, doesn't really draw a lot of attention and awe from anybody unless they see them real close to them or climbing their leg or something, and then they panic. Get that thing away from me. You know why the caterpillar's doing that? He's thinking like a caterpillar. That's what caterpillars do. But at some point in his life, he'll get in a cocoon. He'll stay in that cocoon or that chrysalis, depending on what you're talking about. Moths, you know, they're not. The really, really beautiful butterflies come out of chrysalises. I wonder if that's why the Emmaus Walk for young people are called the chrysalis. Time of change. Time of change in the way you think. Hoping to change the way you act. But this butterfly, going to be transformed, this caterpillar, going to be transformed or go through what science calls metamorphosis and turn into a beautiful monarch butterfly that you can sit and watch them all day long. And you wouldn't do that with a caterpillar. But because that thing has been transformed now into something completely new, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. We have been changed from caterpillars to butterflies. But wouldn't it be a shame if that butterfly didn't go the transformation of his thinking? What if that butterfly came out of that chrysalis and he had all the attributes of a butterfly and he could fly and he was beautiful and it was awe-inspiring and everything like that, but he still thought like a caterpillar. And there's this beautiful butterfly wallowing in the dirt down under the leaves and chewing a little bland. Yeah, I mean, just the beautiful butterfly doing what a caterpillar does. Don't let that happen to you as a Christian. That butterfly became a caterpillar. That caterpillar became a butterfly. That butterfly had a privilege and a distinction. But if he still thinks like a caterpillar, he's living beneath his station, beneath his ability, beneath his status. And if we're a child of God, we've been made new creatures in Jesus Christ, but our minds are not renewed, and we still are thinking like we used to think. And I said something, I believe it was Wednesday night. Then we start talking about sin. Do you realize that when I say the word sin, and say now, think of, when I say this word, think of what it brings to your mind, sin. And you start seeing people killing people and robbing banks and all this other stuff. But did you know that 90% of the sins that are committed are not even noticed? They may come to light eventually, but you know, if somebody, wow, that's terrible. I can't imagine somebody murdering their whole family. And we can get a picture of that. But do you really hear the same enthusiasm or the same conviction if somebody says, you know, they really ought to stop gossiping about their family? See, we see a big difference, don't we, between killing your family and gossiping about them. God doesn't. Sin, sin. Sin is sin. So what we need to understand is that we have a nature that's still wanting to reach back and get a hold of that. Your flesh has not been disconnected from this planet. Your flesh is still walking around operating. It still has to breathe the air. It still has to drink the water. It still has to eat the food. But it has to make some kind of adjustments to do it right. And that's where the renewing of our mind comes in. That's where changing our thinking. And most people, shouldn't worry about their stinking doing as much as they should worry about their stinking thinking. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're never going to disconnect yourself from this world, but you are in a position where you need to learn how to make sure that your spirit man is in control of your fleshly man, and that your fleshly man has been told to shut up and sit down. But too many times, it's the spirit man that gets something said to him like, leave me alone. If I want to be mad, I'll be mad. Quit trying to tell me that I shouldn't. Another thing that helps is this: be sensitive to the fact that how you live can bring honor and glory to God, or it can bring reproach and blasphemy against His name. I know a lot of people that aren't interested. Well, let me put it this way. I've met a lot of people that aren't interested in Christianity because of the experience that they've had with other Christians. Now, that's no excuse, but they think it is. And evidently, they've seen some Christians that they didn't care much for the way they lived, talk, or the way they were. And we've got the choice now. But until we take this Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God and to change our way of thinking, and to help us rise out of the ashes and fly like a butterfly, we're going to have to get as much of this word inside of us as we can. Because that's the difference. That's how your mind's transformed. Your mind is not transformed by simply saying, I believe in Jesus' name, my mind's transformed. If you start studying God's word, you won't have to believe for your life, your mind to be transformed. It will just automatically begin to be transformed. Communicate with God. Listen to God more than you listen to the devil. Another, be clear that any hostile or disobedient tendency toward God's word comes out of your fleshly nature. If God says something through his word that you don't particularly like to hear, and you get a little peeved or, what's the other word I use? Disobedient and hostile. You're not making a good decision. You're not making a spiritual decision. You're making a fleshly decision. I don't care what the Bible says I should wear. I'm going to wear what I want to. Well, a lot of things that the Bible says that we shouldn't wear are not some of a lot of things that the church and religion tells us we shouldn't wear. Or shouldn't do. Or shouldn't go there. And you know what? It mostly concerns the heart. Even in Peter, where he's talking about the issue of how women dress. It's that's not the outward appearance. It's not the putting on of the makeup and the jewelry and all this kind of stuff. But it's a good heart towards God. He doesn't say that the other things are evil. He just says that's not what you judge it by. The more expensive clothes I wear, I can still be a scoundrel. You know, the mafia wears expensive clothes. They kill 7 or 8 people to save the money from getting out of their hands that they used to buy this stuff. It doesn't make them any better. They may have more money. They may have more stuff. But morally and spiritually, they're bankrupt. Recognize that love is binding and obligatory on believers. Understand that any lack of love is lawlessness and rebellion. Wow, that's pretty strong. I can't stand him. I can't stand her. Why? She just doesn't act like I think she ought to. He just doesn't do like I think he ought to be doing. Do you realize? I passed him on the street the other day. He didn't even speak to me. He's all stuck up. I don't want nothing to do with him. That was Jesus' attitude. He wouldn't have had much company. He wasn't trying to get rid of people like that. He was trying to improve them. Now, people that you know, people that you're around, and I know that I may step on a toe or two. I may step on my own toe. But the truth's the truth. People that are around that you don't care whether you could better them or not because you don't like them. You're not going to treat them nice because of what they did to you. Or what I heard what they said about me. I'm not having nothing to do with them. I'm not even going to speak to them when I meet them. Now, you push love a little bit down. And, you know, I can't see Jesus doing that. I can't see Jesus passing up somebody and saying, I'm not going to save them because they're just... Do you know what they're like? Do you know what you were like? You know what I was like? You know what we were like before Jesus? We were on the hellbound train. And you might have been sitting, all you might have done is tell a little white lie, and the person sitting next to you is an axe murderer. but you're on the same train headed to the same place. But we have a way to change it. And that's come to Jesus. I couldn't buy it. I didn't deserve it. Still, you gave your love to me. The reckless love of God. We love Him because He first loved us. And John said this, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It doesn't say because we read an entire book in the Bible every day. Well, it probably would help. I'll tell you one thing, if you do that, after a while, you're going to start to realize what it is to love. What it is to do a lot of different things. And there's something else, and you can read more about it in the bulletin this morning. And that's our relationship with sin. You know what the Word of God says? Paul says in Romans, sin no longer has dominion over you. In other words, sin can't make you do what you do. You do what you do because sin talked you into it and you made a choice to do it. And if you don't have some of this Word of God inside of you to stand up and say, like Jesus did when Satan came to Him, Jesus never made up a single answer to rebuke what He asked Jesus to do. Turn them stones into bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Well, jump off of the temple and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then he took him to a mountain. Showed him the city. Showed him the whole world. If you'll bow down to me, I'll give you all of this. Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. And that's the way He answered him. Now, some of us might have been tempted to say something like this if we knew what Jesus knew, and that's where we were, if we thought humanly, and the devil came up and said, you know, I'll give you this and I'll do that. Look, Satan, you don't know the program. I've already got all this anyway. So just go ahead and quit talking to me. Wonder why Jesus didn't tell him that. Could have, couldn't he? Could have said, just devil, just shut up. Here in a few years, I'm going to have it all anyway. And you're not going to have any part in it. Because Jesus knew who He was, He knew who God was, and He knew what His purpose was. That you might prove what is a good and perfect and acceptable will of God for you. Romans 12:2. Say no to sin whenever it confronts you. Just say no. You're going to have to do it on the strength of God. You're going to have to do it on the strength and the presence of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in your life. You're going to have to do that because of what you know in this book and how well you're fed and how strong you are, how strong your spiritual muscles. You've been eating enough of the right kind of stuff that you can stand up and say, devil, no. Sin, no. I'm not doing it. I'm not a slave to you anymore. You got to recognize that you are really free from its demands. Sin can tell you to do anything it wants to tell you to do, but it can't make you do it. Because we've been set free from that. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, can you be tempted? Yes, that's what the devil does. Jesus was tempted. None of those things were pleasant. None of those things were even an option to him. But he was tempted because the devil said, you do this, I'll do this. Obey Christ, your new master, not sin, your old master. You used to serve sin, now we serve the Lord. We obey the Lord, we stay out of sin. We obey sin, we get messed up in the Lord. Then we reflect it differently in the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying, people I know of, I can name some of them, and you can too, that their kids are wild. I mean, grown kids. They have been wild. They've been into stuff. They have done stuff, and it make you just say, oh, man. But they're still your children. And if they came back to you and said, I'm sorry, the only thing that would keep a parent from saying, we'll work it out, or I accept the apology, or I love you too, is to know that we're not going to think the way a lot of human thinking is. You know something? I don't know that I've ever said this, but I can say it. A young teenage girl turns up expectant by a poor choice she made. Should she have done it? No. Was it wrong? Yes. Will it have consequences? Yes. All these things are true. But I'm telling you, I think in the eyes of God, through Jesus Christ and God's grace and mercy, for parents to kick a girl out on the street and say, you're going to be like that, we're not going to have nothing to do with you, just get out of our lives, you're not our daughter anymore, is just as bad as what she did. And that doesn't mean that you condone it. But I'm not going to love you anymore because you made a mistake and committed a sin. Now I'm through loving you. And yet the Bible says God never stops loving us. And don't you think he hasn't seen everything you've done? He knows what you are. He knows more about you than we do. And it doesn't matter what you hide from us. What you hide from us will never even appear when you have to stand before God. But you didn't understand. You're not hiding anything from him. But the thing about it is, even though he knows it, he loves you with all of his heart. Loves you unquestionably. Loves you enough to die for you. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Believe with conviction that it's your old sinful nature, not your new nature in Christ, that manifests itself in acts of sin. The Word of God will keep your flesh buried. But you will start slacking up on that, and that flesh will start trying to crawl out of his grave. You know what Paul said? I die daily. And he wasn't talking about the persecution that he was getting from the Romans and whoever else it was, wherever he went. He was talking about the fact that I die daily. I choose to believe that I am dead. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How do you get out of all of this stuff that you don't want to be in? You start believing more on Jesus. and quit trying to do it yourself. Problem is turning over a new leaf is that the stuff on the new leaf eventually gets as bad as the stuff on the old one you didn't turn over. Because the only thing that makes us clean, the only thing that makes us right, the only thing that makes us righteous, and the thing that makes us be able to stand before God faultless, as Jude says, is what Jesus has done. Now to him who is able to present you faultless before the Father. He's not going to present you faultless because you work to get faultless. He's going to present you faultless because he covered you with his blood, and now that's all God sees. The key to victory in this life is not what we do, it's what we know. You can't do what you don't know. And you can't keep from doing what you really have faith in. In conclusion, real quickly, recognize that the law is fulfilled by the Holy Spirit in us. Know that his presence in you is the very life of Jesus Christ. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. No longer I live, but Jesus who lives in me. Choose to live by the Spirit. Choose to live by the Spirit. Don't use the Spirit as a place to run on a bad, stormy day. Live it. Live by the Spirit. Whether it's sunshining or raining or whatever it's doing, you're standing in the middle of a path of a tornado, live by the Spirit. Put to death fleshly attitudes and actions. Acknowledge your adoption as a child of God, calling him Father. God's on your side. God has done everything. Jesus Christ has provided everything we need. All that's responsible of us is to take advantage of it, to accept it. Jesus died for me. Jesus lives in me. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will not go astray, and I will not get lost in the dark. For I have a compass. I have a standard, and I shall live my life by the word of God. It's not what you do that makes it. It's what you believe that God's done that makes it. I never made myself righteous. Spiritually, seminary, I don't think helped me much. Now, it gave me a lot of knowledge, but I had to put into operation whatever I learned. When I read the Bible, I have to put it in operation. We all do. But that's the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world. What's the next three words? This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith in what Jesus did. Holding on to what Jesus did. He doesn't ask you to try to outperform him. He just says, believe in me, and I will make what I am out of you. You may not see it, but you keep on working. And you're not going to work yourself into heaven. You're not going to work yourself into perfection. You are just not going to do it. But you can believe yourself there by putting your trust for everything you are in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Let's stand. let's just say I'd give the classes time enough to get all their stuff done this morning. But I poured out my heart to you. And if you'll take it to heart, you'll see victory coming into your life where there wasn't victory before. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you did when we prayed earlier. And all these names and these different situations came up before you. Thank you, Lord God, that you're working on that. Thank you, Lord God, that you're working on us. And all we have to do is just give you a chance. All we have to do, Lord God, is just pick up the instruction manual and let you show us what it is. Let the Holy Spirit reign in our lives. That our relationship with you and our contact with you, Lord God, be all that we need. I thank you, Lord, for each one that's here this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful to meet all of our needs. And as we go from here this morning, Lord God, I believe that the needs are met, the prayers are answered, and the Word of God lives and reigns in our hearts and lives. We thank you for that, Father. You made it possible through Jesus Christ. To God be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. God bless you.